after the first. Oh my god.
While you're fumbling, I'm gonna open my beer. I can't open it. Please help, Mom.
There you go.
There we go.
All right, welcome back to Crime in the Coconut. Here we are in the summer of 2022.
Once again.
Our second season with Morgan here with us. Awesome. Thanks for being here. I'm really excited for this this season. I think it's going to be a little shorter. We only have 3 episodes apiece, so it'll be a 6-episode long season. But I think where quantity lacks, quality will thrive.
Yeah, we've done some interesting stories this time. Very similar stories, as well as stories that play into one another. So I'm excited to see how those flow.
Yes, I agree. So I will start off. Today, I'm covering Fan Man Yi from China. And I'm going to save what the story is mostly known for, the title of it, until a little bit later, because I think it's very interesting. I'm going to tank on it.
Tank on it.
We're using aluminum cans, so it's not a very good tank.
It's not wine glasses this time.
No. So I was going to cover Junko Furuta. I don't know if you know her. She is not from China, but a different Eastern country. But her case is very similar to the one I ended up covering. But while I was digging, I came across a different Wikipedia article titled Hello Kitty Murder.
Thought you weren't going to announce the name.
This is later. I'm announcing it.
Okay.
I wasn't going to say it right
later.
I wasn't going to say it right away.
This is later.
It was a surprise.
I was waiting for, like, later.
It was 29 seconds later.
Does that mean these were, like, cute murders? Like, Sanrio, very cute.
No.
Done well?
No, not at all.
Oh.
It's very terrible, actually.
Oh.
My interest was peaked.
Not me glorifying murder.
And I was very enticed. So, honorable mention to Junko Furuta, the story I almost covered. It's very interesting, sad, and horrible, so if you feel inclined to do so, it's on Wikipedia.
Justice for Junko.
Yes, justice for Junko. That is one article I won't be reading today. Alternatively, to a thought-provoking murder mystery, we're going to switch to a short, scary, and weird one. Just a nice first episode.
Short, scary, weird.
Yep.
Usual.
I'm going to apologize beforehand. I'm not going to try extremely hard at some of these names and end up embarrassing myself. I'm gonna do my best. Fan Man Yi was a nightclub hostess at an unnamed hotel in Hong Kong, 1999, but it was actually a brothel. It wasn't really a hotel.
Is that why it was unnamed, or was it just never released?
It probably was never released. You know what a brothel is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, just look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah, Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary.
All right, anyways, she worked as a hostess and was kidnapped and murdered by members of the Chinese mafia. Organized crime scares me. I think it's so smart and I'm so stupid, and I hear terrible stories about drug cartels and I hate thinking about it. Those people do horrible and unspeakable things to people, and I heard a story from a friend of a friend about how they went to one of those resorts down in Mexico. I know it's one of those a friend of a friend stories, but this friend of a friend, they're very religious, like very...
White picket fence type family.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And they went down to a resort, you know, when you go to like Cabo or places like that.
Like one of those like all-inclusive type, like Sandals or something like that.
And they tell you, you can't leave the resort. Don't leave the
resort.
It's
too dangerous.
There's men walking. My friends went to one. There's men walking around with like AKs just to protect the people. They say there's no reason for you to leave the resort. Everything is here. You can stay here.
Right.
Well, this guy's wife went missing. And
the friend of the friend, you know?
Yeah. His wife went missing, and they tried contacting people about it, like getting, like, can we find her? And they were like, she's just gone. Like, good,
yeah, I mean,
like,
there's really
luck.
Nothing they can do. Like, the cartels and things like that, they're way bigger than the police force.
So they're leaving.
And they have a lot of inside work in the police force.
So they're leaving to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know all the details, but they ended up seeing this car, and they saw her in the back of the car.
Oh, my
with
God.
With sunglasses and a scarf on. And they, you know, flagged down this car. They got to the police. They, you know, this is, my wife's in that car, you know, whatever. And then they open the door. She's been gutted and stuffed full of drugs.
The credibility of this story is a gray area. Don't believe everything you hear on the internet.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That happens all the time.
Can you imagine being like that family?
You won't, then they don't. care about people's feelings. They probably did that to her while she was alive. I don't know.
For sure. She probably just died from the pain.
Yeah.
Not because they actually, like...
Well, or, you know, extreme blood loss. I'm sure they weren't, you know, ligating any.
Well, maybe they might have been. You never know.
But anyways, the brothel is no longer there. They tore it down in 2012 and turned it into supposedly an actual hotel in 2016.
But... Okay. Tore down the hotel brothel.
Yes.
And made it an actual brothel. Or an actual hotel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, supposedly. So Fawn did not have a good childhood. She was raised in a girl's home until she was 16. Orphanages in China were not good and still kind of aren't. Conditions are worse due to insufficient staff and supplies. And it is unclear on the more intellectual treatment that they received, but typically 5 children to 1 staff member was like the ratio. And I can imagine that there weren't always super tender caregivers looking for after these children.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's unfortunately how it kind of goes.
So at 16, she ages out of the system.
16 is their age out?
Yeah.
My gosh.
And then she became homeless and developed a drug addiction. Unclear as to what drug specifically, but unfortunate nonetheless. She became a sex worker until she hit 21 and then started working at the brothel, which, I mean, still is sex work, but I'm assuming she was just doing street sex work.
Yeah.
And wasn't that, like, an established
Right, right. At hotel. Least, like, a brothel is, like, I guess you could say established, like, and you have people that are actually, like, watching your back versus, like, if you're doing street sex work, you have other sex workers that are watching your back. However, you don't have, like, security or anything like that. Like, a lot of brothels have security guards and...
Yeah.
People checking on them to make sure they're safe. It's also regulated a little bit better.
So Chan Manlock was a 34-year-old member of the Chinese Mafia, as well as a drug dealer, pimp, and one of Fan's regulars. Fan was his personal favorite. One evening while working, Fan stole Manlock's wallet containing the rough equivalent of $500. When Manlock realized it was gone, he confronted Fan. He knew immediately it was her. Demanded the money in return, as well as double the amount she had stolen, so... Not only do I want my money back,
but I want an extra $1,000.
Yeah, you owe me extra now.
I mean, I'm not, I guess, victim blaming her. However, I think it's incredibly ignorant to steal a wallet from somebody that's in the mafia.
Oh, I know. And she knew she fucked up because she didn't hesitate in returning what she took, but requested more time to get the remaining amount that she owed.
Right. When was this again? Sorry. 99, roughly?
It was 1999.
1999,
yep. Okay. Manlock, 2 other men, and 1 14-year-old girl grooming victim, Ah Fong. They confined her in an apartment in Sim Sha Sui, I'm assuming that is how it's pronounced, where they kept her against her will for a month. Supposedly, Manlock planned on her repaying her debt with the money that she could collect as his prostitute. So he was, you know, you're going to work for me and you're going to make this money back up.
So basically he pimped her out. Or just to himself.
That was... supposedly going to be what he was going to do, but none of that actually happened. Fawn was subjected to torture while she was there.
Just a warning, Amanda is about to jump into the methods of torture and abuse that Fan Man Yi suffered.
The last month of her life involved being beaten by metal bars, kitchen utensils, furniture. They would rub spices into her wounds, rape her, force her to ingest human waste, and burn her body, mostly her legs and feet, with hot plastic and wax to prevent her from moving around.
Oh my god. So basically, he took her to be his prostitute, and then instead just completely tortured her with kitchen utensils?
Mm-hmm. Was two other guys, and a 14-year-old girl also
assisted
yes.
in her torture. A 14-year-old.
Yes.
Can you imagine how groomed you'd have to be to do that?
This was Manlock's girlfriend. Supposedly.
He had a 14-year-old girlfriend? How old
was
he?
Of course he did. He's in the Chinese mafia. You think he's going to respect legal age?
I mean, that's true, but oh my, that's disgusting. Ew.
They would also hang her and beat her. And in one event recounted by Ah Fong, the 14-year-old, Fan's head was kicked 50 times with her also joining in. During this torment and abuse, the group also demanded that Fawn smile and say she enjoyed the beatings, and if she refused or failed to do so, she would receive an increasingly violent abuse.
Oh. Okay, hold on. What is more increasingly violent than being hung, kicked in the head, attacked with kitchen utensils by not just 2 men, but a 14-year-old female?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is worse than that?
Oh, I'm sure there's so.
I mean, I'm sure there are, like, but just, oh my God.
Junko Furuta, the Japanese victims I almost covered today, received similar torture. But her captives also forced her to speak to her mom over the phone and state that she was okay and she just ran away. Honestly, the Junko Furuta story is very interesting, and I'll tell you guys to check it out a second time because I don't have time for Cliff Notes right now. After a month of Fon's torture, she succumbed to her injuries and died while her captors were out or asleep. I don't think they would have cared if they were present either way, but they weren't present when she died, supposedly.
Right. And she really didn't have, she had nobody. So it's not like she had anybody she needed to contact
she
or anything.
She had a son.
She had a child?
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Probably into an orphanage system like she did. Or maybe he was already there because she was, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's so sad.
Addicted to drugs.
What if it was like his son? Man locks.
No, it's not. He was like 2 years old when she.
Okay.
But maybe, because, I mean, if she was servicing him, you know. Mm-hmm.
Prior to that.
But it does say that they discovered her body in the bathroom they locked her in. While digging around, I later found out that when the men discovered her body, they argued about her dying after overdosing on methamphetamines. So they were drugged up. She was drugged up.
Oh, so they were drugging her also.
Yeah. Another secondary source stated the men were on meth. So I think these line up even though the wiki didn't mention it.
Right.
It's hard to believe that somebody could do something like that to someone sober. But yeah. If they're also on meth, then it's a little more believable.
Right, right. To be able to do something so, like, cruel, unusual, heinous.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, was the 14-year-old also using methamphetamines?
Probably.
That's just crazy to me. Because how long did he groom her for?
I don't know.
So long.
I didn't look deeper into her. Then, you know, after they found out she was dead, they dismembered and boiled her body and sewed her head inside of a Hello Kitty mermaid doll. And dumped the rest of her remains.
Oh my God. When you started that sentence, my jaw dropped like 6 inches.
I know, I saw it.
They sewed her, like her scalp?
Her head.
Her actual head.
I saw pictures of it. It's like a giant plush.
Think of like a Squishmallow?
Hello Kitty doll. But she has like seashells and then a mermaid cat. Or not a cat, mm-hmm. but like a mermaid fishtail.
Like a tail. And they, like, put her head inside
of it?
So they
opened up the Hello Kitty head and put her head inside of it.
And then sewed
it up.
Imagine just finding that shit at Goodwill. Yeah. Or Village Thrift.
Right.
Oh, my God.
The only remains recovered were her head, one tooth, and some internal organs inside of a plastic bag. And the only reason the remains were found were because Ah Fong showed them. She also testified against the other three for immunity.
Okay, but here's the other problem is when you, like, snitch on the mafia or the cartel, you're not gonna be safe.
Yeah.
Especially because a lot of those, and I'm not saying it's everywhere, but I can say, like, with the cartel specifically, they have a lot of, like, inside as far as, like, law enforcement that assists them or, like, help kind of keep them out of trouble. So I think it's extremely naive to think that you can go to law enforcement after assisting the mafia or the cartel or whatever for immunity.
And in some areas, the cops are paid off by the mafia,
that's what I'm
too.
Saying. So it's like you may get immunity from, like, going to prison or jail, but you're still going to get got.
Right. So the men had moved out of the apartment following the murder, but left the Hello Kitty doll containing the head there. So these things, the bag of organs and the Hello Kitty doll and her tooth or whatever, those were all found inside of the apartment still.
Can you imagine being a landlord and you've, like, just evicted somebody, you come in to, like, clean everything out, and you pick up this Squishmallow type thing, and you're like, damn, why is it so heavy?
There's
a human head inside.
I saw crime scene photos. You would have definitely known someone died there. It probably smelled terrible.
Oh, I'm sure it did smell terrible, but can you imagine just, like, cleaning up and you're like, holy shit, there's a fucking head in here?
Yeah.
That's disgusting. I think that's actually probably worse than if I had opened Jeffrey Dahmer's fridge. If I pick up a stuffed animal and there's an 8-pound head in it, because the average head weighs 8 pounds.
I would disagree. I mean, it'd be fucked up, but I would rather discover that than I would Jeffrey Dahmer's fridge. Because at least there's, like, an intent to hide, but
I feel like Jeffrey Dahmer's fridge wouldn't have bothered me. His room with, like, the acid barrels would have bothered me, but whatever.
And I was wondering how they were going to charge a 14-year-old initially, but now we know she got immunity, and I would like to say she is hopefully living a better, more remorseful life for herself, but whether she grew up to become a relatively normal, successful person or kind of kept running with the Chinese mafia, we'll never know. Well, I hope she wasn't running with the Chinese mafia, because they would kill her.
Yeah, they definitely would have killed her.
But that just goes to show you that there are probably some people like this that you cross paths with every day. And you don't know the things that they've done in their lives. And some of those things they've done are very bad. I always wonder that. I mean, so many people that I see every day. And every once in a while, like, statistically, one of them has had to have killed somebody.
I mean, I say this all the time. It's another crime junkie quote. You never really know anyone ever. Ever. You don't know your neighbors. You don't know your friend's friends. You don't know anybody ever.
I've been told since I started working there, they were like, everybody lies. Everybody lies.
Yes.
Even the sweet old lady
who you love.
Who you could never imagine would be selling.
Censored for privacy.
To her neighbors, they do it and they will lie to you.
Yes. Yes. You can't trust anybody, especially like if you're.
Censored for privacy.
Things like that.
Right. Manlock and his accomplices had a trail lasting 6 weeks and 4 days. The men were convicted of.
Wait for it. Dramatic pause. The tension is building.
You're gonna love this.
I'm waiting.
Manslaughter.
Wow. Who would have thought?
Accidental murder.
That's insane. I guess you can say it's accidental because they didn't physically kill her, but they beat her to the point that she was practically dead anyways.
Exactly.
For how long? Months to years?
It was months.
Wrong. It was 1 month.
Months. So it's like, that doesn't even make sense. Like manslaughter, accidentally killing somebody. So tell me a sentence. Give it to me. How long was he in prison? Forever?
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Because if it's accidental manslaughter a lot of time, it's not forever.
The reasoning for this was the jury ruled the remains were not sufficient enough to determine whether or not Fan was murdered or died from another cause.
The remains? She was decapitated and put into a stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
All they found was one tooth and a bag of insides.
And that's why they chopped up and boiled her body. While digging, I found they boiled her body to prevent the distinct smell of rotting remains. So that's how they got away with it not smelling up the place. Even sometimes cooking next to their intended dinner and using the same cooking utensils to stir whatever the fuck they had on the stove right next to her head that they were also stirring. Little head and this
little
pot.
Little vegetable
stirring.
Stew.
Yep.
But can you think about, how long and how hot does the water have to be to physically boil somebody down to no smell?
Well, if they boiled her before she started rotting, it would probably just smell like meat.
Ugh.
Yeah.
How do you like your meat? Little red? Or well done.
Rare.
Yeah, me too. I eat that shit still cooking.
Still cooking.
Not still cooking. Still mooing.
I will eat a steak rare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, done. It's in my mouth.
That's like, what is that? Like a blue rare or something where it's like basically raw?
Oh, I don't know. But ground meat, something else. I will eat.
Oh, yeah.
Every hamburger I have is well done. With a steak. All the bacteria is on the outside, and you're burning off the bacteria. But when you grind meat, when you ground it together,
yeah.
It's all everywhere now. You can't just cook the outside. You got to cook everything.
Why are we talking about how you cook your meat right after suspected cannibalism?
Anyways, if the intention had been clear to kill in the law's eyes, they would have received mandatory life. I believe the choice Ah Fong made in exchange for immunity helped this case immensely. At one point in the article, it does say she joined in on kicking Fan in the head. These guys also forced Fan to say she enjoyed being beaten and smile while being tortured.
My brain, when you said manslaughter, I think after that my brain turned to like a mashed potato. This poor girl didn't even get justice.
But what I'm saying is that they made her smile while she was being tortured, so it wouldn't put me too far beyond reasonable doubt to believe that Ah Fong was forced to take involvement in the torture.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, definitely was forced, but I just can't get down with, like, feeling bad for her.
We also have covered some stories with some pretty cruel and evil children, so who knows, maybe she was just evil. Ah Fong began to have nightmares about the torture of Fan and believed that she was being haunted and can only rid herself of the ghost if she repented and confessed to the police. And the police actually almost didn't even believe her. It was so wild that she just popped in and was, this is like a year later.
She's like, oh yeah, actually.
She's like, by the way, we murdered some girl in this apartment and she won't leave me alone until I tell you guys.
Right. I mean, honestly, if I was her, I'd haunt her ass too.
And if she's methed out too.
Like, oh yeah, definitely. Especially at the age of 14. She probably started using meth at like 12, 13, whatever. Regardless.
It's terrible.
Her brain is so fucked up at that point.
That is so terrible. That leaves like no room for development. She's basically just an animal at that point.
Yeah, no, exactly, for sure.
A lot of time in Asian cultures, people believe that ghosts are haunting them, or like, you know, when souls are at rest, like people can haunt them.
Right.
And I wondered that when I had found out Ah Fong went to the police initially. I wondered, before I even got to the part about her being haunted, I thought, I wonder if she felt guilty.
Like a presence, yeah, type. And that's probably, like you said, because they feel the need to confess. And it's kind of like, it's almost like a weight bearing on your shoulders. And it gets to a point and you're so stressed out and you're strung out on meth probably that it's just too much to handle.
In the Vietnam War, they actually used their religion and belief of souls that aren't at rest will haunt the area, or like they'll always be in like a purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
So during the Vietnam War, they would play on over loudspeakers. They had these backpacks that were like speakers, or they had like helicopters going over playing it, but they would play what sounded like a Vietnamese man screaming for his wife and kids and wondering why he's still here, and trying to kind of like get them to play into their fear of like religion. But it didn't work.
Yeah.
they just shot in the direction of the speakers.
Right.
Three men were sentenced to life in prison with possibility of parole in 20 years. So 2020.
Did they get it?
We'll get there.
Oh, God.
Another source from real life
villains.
Real life villains. Mirahez.org stated that Manlock and his accomplices were on meth for the duration of Fan's imprisonment. This source also states that they allegedly cannibalized the unfound remains, and it also says the murder went unsolved for a year until Ah Fong went to the police. I'm not going to give too much credit to this source because while it does end with .org, under Manlock's picture, it says hobby, having sex, smoking meth, eating.
And then, maybe that was all he had, besides the mafia.
And then it says goals. Getting revenge on Fan Man Yi, successful. Getting away with murder, failed.
I think it's a trustworthy source.
There were two Hong Kong movies made about the Hello Kitty murder, Human Pork Chop, and There's a Secret in My Soup.
There's a Secret in My Soup? It's like vegetable soup. It just spells out her name.
What is that book? It's called, like, Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Chicken Noodle Soup for the Soul. I mean, we said she was making, like, soup and then a head at the same time, just stirring it around.
Oh, my God.
Imagine how big that pot had to be.
Something you'd boil corn in.
Corn, or, like, a shrimp boil or a seafood boil.
Do you remember a corn boiling pot? That big ass pot?
It's, like, 2 feet tall.
I will note any pieces followed by, after some digging, I added in after the article was done, and these sources were from Ranker.com. All the details were just too compelling to leave out. The Wikipedia doesn't say anything about them being on meth.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I have found that recently, like, just searching and researching and stuff, I've been using more sources than just Wikipedia.
Because,
like, you'll see it in case I do later.
Yeah.
Wikipedia was so bland.
Yeah.
And then another case I did, there was no Wikipedia for it at all. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that is sometimes, but.
Support Wiki.
I like Wiki. Yeah, give them some money. They do a good job. That's all I have.
That's manslaughter. My brain's still a mashed potato.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that girl, I'm assuming she just got out scot-free.
Well, yeah, she testified for immunity, so I don't know if they have, like, a witness protection kind of
thing. I sure hope so, but even then, it's like we've said, like, the mafia or the cartel, they'll pay off law enforcement. So it's possible, like, they're also corrupt.
Right.
And they can just be like, yeah, here she's at 123 Sesame Street Boulevard, like...
Oh, but his parole in 2020, I tried looking around to see what happened. I couldn't find any distinct, like, yes or no, but as far as I know, he did not get parole.
I mean, he shouldn't.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised.
Oh, I know.
You'd be surprised. You're like, you know, you've been so good in here since you tortured and murdered that girl.
Well, not accidentally murdered that girl, yeah. Nonetheless. Oh my god, this story's so gross.
I wonder how like meth withdrawal is when you go into jail.
Well, so it was what, 2000, 2001, something yeah. like that. So I feel like while the drug scene was still at large, they didn't handle withdrawals properly. So we didn't have, like, those drugs you can give to, like, help people, like, wean off of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it was probably brutal. They probably had night terrors and sweats and they're vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, obviously I'm assuming they got through it. But it probably wasn't fun. But I feel like a lot of, you know, what they did, what's her name, Fawn?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of what they did to her, honestly, they probably don't have a very great recollection of it themselves if they were always strung out.
Yeah.
While they probably are aware, like, hey, we beat this bitch up.
Mm-hmm.
We did X, Y, and Z. They probably don't have a clear enough, like, understanding. That's also probably another reason why it was accidental manslaughter. Just thinking about it, probably, you know, it played a big factor in you guys were so strung out that you guys probably don't even really remember what happened. You weren't in the right mindset.
Which happened.
I'm not saying that excuses anything.
Do you remember the Club Kids
episode?
Mm-hmm. That guy was, he blamed the murder on being strung out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there was, there's this metal group. I can never remember their name.
Tim Lamesis, the frontman of As I Lay Dying.
The lead singer was doing steroids, and he actually hired a hitman to kill his wife. And he only served, like, a very minimal sentence.
He was sentenced to 6 years in prison and credited 48 days for time served.
The hitman never got to his wife. However, he didn't have to serve, like, a lot of time for, like, conspiracy of trying to commit a murder or anything because he was strung out on roids. So he kind of got, like, I wouldn't say scot-free, but, I mean, he's still performing live shows. People still go see him. He's still in the same band. Like, nobody dropped him.
Well, yeah.
Asinine to me because whether you're doing steroids or not,
the difference in those cases are one is famous, but I guess being in the Chinese mafia makes you somewhat of,
I mean, you're well known.
Mm-hmm. You get to the end of the episode, the very, very end, I've started to put a surprise in after our handles. Stay tuned shortly. I don't know, there'll be something at the end.
Yeah, stay tuned. Thanks for listening, tuning in to the next season.
Yeah, Crime in the Coconut, woo!
Crime in the Coconut.
Yeah.
Our handles are Crime in the Coconut at Instagram. Crime in the Coconut on Facebook.
CITC Podcasts with an S on the end on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And our, did you say our Gmail already?
CrimeInTheCoconut@gmail.com.
All right, cool.
They forgot to say goodbye. Anyways, here is a joke about killing. Why did the orphan commit mass murder? To be at the top of the wanted list. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.